everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the first Sunday in Lent, Year B. The Old Testament series for Lent this year is Covenants, so we begin with Noah. The Gospel series for Lent always starts with Jesus in the wilderness, as we'll see in Mark 1 again. And 1 Peter bridges the two texts. Build some multiple intelligence bridges with your sermon with our illustrations and special effects.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year B, first Sunday in Lent, is Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. This is the end of the, well, pretty much the end of the story of the flood. There's a little bit that happens after this with Noah building a vineyard and some
shenanigans.
Yes. But that's not in this. This is where God says to Noah, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, domestic animals, every animal on the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark." So, all y'all that survived the flood, God will establish a covenant and put the sign of the covenant in the sky, which is God's bow. Well, we found stuff for pretty much everything, but we're only going to look at four of the intelligences. We're going to do illustrations and special effects for word, eye, body, and music. We have stuff for nature, people, and self, but we chose not to do them because of the interest of time. So if you would like to see what we came up with, go to the website at www.morethanhearing.org and download the worksheets that will be in the show notes. Okay, so we're going to start with word. What have you got for word, David?
All right. Starting with verse 9, where God says, "As for me..." And the phrase reappears in other Old Testament texts for Lent and derives from the Hebrew word hini, or behold. And so God is making a point and trying to get people to pay attention here. For an illustration, we had a recent president of the United States who had a similar way of getting people's attention and would begin a lot of explanations with, "Look." And it almost got to be a tick.
You could almost expect him to say that.
It's one of those crutches. And yeah, we've all got those. And you've probably picked up ours, although I sometimes edit them out. But
that's not fair. We'll fall down.
But anyway, people... So this particular thing... is the president who would say, "Look," and people will probably remember that, some pleasantly and others less so, I suppose. But anyway, the point being, look. For special effect, you could do that thing that we recommend from time to time where there's a lot of repetition in a passage where you can have queued up responses either from particular readers or invite the congregation to do a thing when they hear the particular words, these cues. For example, covenant shows up an awful lot, and we'll mention later, I think, or it's at least on the worksheets, that there's something of the marital covenant kind of thing that's going on here. So you could, whenever you hear the word covenant, people could say, I do. The phrase in the clouds shows up a lot. So waving hands over their heads, all flesh, thump your chest. Between me and you shows up a lot. So high five people around you. This will be a sign. Have everyone yell, stop. And remember shows up a few times. It's, oh yeah. Or, you know, whatever else you want to come up with. But those are some ideas.
For iSmart, an illustration of the rainbow is a clip to a video that has been seen quite a few times of a particular fellow who was overcome by seeing a double rainbow. It was a spiritual experience for him.
Moving experience for him. Yes, indeed.
So you could always use that as an illustration of somebody being blown away by a rainbow. And also, there was a rather interesting movie out back in 2009 called 2012, which was about the alignment of the planets predicted by the Mayan calendar, which started a heating of the Earth's core or some such thing, which shifted the Earth's crust, which caused tsunamis and earthquakes, and the massive
fire
volcano in Yellowstone
and
erupted, and
sharknadoes,
and John Cusack and Amanda Peet wound up fleeing from this thing in a limousine, a Piper jet, an RV, and a larger jet. Four different times they were running like mad to get away from something. So anyway, but what we want you to look at is the arcs that were built to save people. It's really kind of an interesting idea, and kind of makes you wonder, if we did have enough heads up that there was going to be something like that, would we have enough foresight to build an ark? And who would get on?
And the technology.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, who gets on is a big question.
Right.
In the movie.
Right. In the movie. Yeah. It's all the haves and the have-nots and things like that. Mm-hmm. If for the purposes of God's story, it was he saw a righteous man and he said, "Do this thing."
Yep.
And he did. So there's some illustrations about the rainbows and the arcs. For a special effect, we have a link to images of flooding. There's been an awful lot of it throughout the world lately. Something else you can do, shine a bright flashlight through a slit into a prism to produce a spectrum, a linear rainbow. And we have a couple of links to what that might look like.
And if you don't do that, you know, just do something with rainbows in the worship space, you know, mm-hmm. get some rainbow stickers
or streamers.
You know, streamers or anything rainbowy. For Body Smart, the symbolism of the bow has been reversed here from its usual use as a weapon of war, which God has been using against the people, mm-hmm. the evil humans there, which now in God's hands is used instead as a sign of God's eternal promise and protection. The bow gets turned upside down, mm-hmm. as it were.
Then, and hung up.
And hung up. And for special effect, all flesh is a phrase that shows up quite a few times here. So it's not just human beings, but all critters. And so bring in a variety of stuffed animals of various sorts, including maybe humans, if you
like. Little toys.
Yeah, toys.
Toy dolls.
And present them as those with whom God has made this covenant. Birds, bears, dogs, cats, fish, bugs, polar bears, dolphins, wolves, horses, monkeys, what have you. And including some endangered animals might be interesting, you know, that God made a covenant to keep them safe. And so should or should we not be caring for them?
Mm-hmm. So for Music Smart, as an illustration, we have a link to the song Flood by Jars of Clay, which is specifically about the flood. And as a special effect, David rewrote some lyrics to the song Handlebars using the hook, I can, what is it? I will make with you my covenant, My Covenant.
Yeah. The song is by Flobots, and it was out a number of years ago.
Yeah. We will try to do that for you and have it as a special file. But we do have the lyrics that David revamped in the show notes. So you can go over there and download them and see if you can see have some fun with them. It goes fast.
It does.
It really does.
So another example of the rhythmless one writing rap.
Right. let's go on.
The New Testament lesson for Year B, Lent 1 is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. It's not a very long passage, but it is
thick.
It's got a lot of stuff in it. So it tells us that Christ suffered once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, and that he was put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit, so he could then make proclamation to the spirits in prison. And in particular, the ones apparently who died in Noah's flood.
There's this foot in the Old Testament.
Right. And that as God waited patiently while Noah built the ark, so as to save a few with water, now baptism saves you.
So there's the foot in the New Testament.
Yeah.
It's a big step.
Through the resurrection of Christ. And it's like, okay. Wow. All right. So we'll try and sort it all out. We have four of the smarts here for this passage. We're going to look at iSmart with an illustration and special effect, MathSmart illustration, and PeopleSmart and SelfSmart, both with illustrations and special effects. Molly.
Okay, we're starting in iSmart, especially, well, kind of sticking around in verse 18 and 21 with the idea of the righteous for the unrighteous and baptism saving. An illustration that you could use to talk about righteous for unrighteous is an ending scene. Well, it's toward the end of the movie, Unforgiven, the movie that Clint Eastwood won a Best Picture Oscar for. Gene Hackman plays Little Bill Daggett, and Clint Eastwood plays Will Money. And right at the very end of the movie, I'm going to give a big spoiler, so if you haven't seen the movie and don't want to know, stick your fingers in your ears for a second or two.
Fast forward.
Yeah, because Will Money throughout the entire movie has been pursuing Little Bill Daggett because Little Bill Daggett is a murderer and an overall bad guy. And so Will Money is about to kill Little Bill Daggett. And Little Bill thinks that he doesn't deserve to die this way. He was about to build a house. And he says this to Will Money, who's got a rifle trained on him. And Bill Money is not moved by that. And he says, deserves, got nothing to do with it. And he shoots him, recognizing that he is no better than Little Bill Daggett for killing this man in cold blood and for having been a cold-blooded killer prior to this. So there's the idea of the unrighteous dying maybe deservedly, but in contrast, Jesus dies in our place regardless of whether or not we deserve death. This illustration is sort of a flip side of what it is that Peter is saying Jesus has done through the crucifixion and resurrection.
Yeah, also because Little Bill says, I'll see you in hell.
Right, and Money
Will
says,
yeah. Yep. And Jesus says, I'll see you in heaven.
And we say, thank God.
Amen. Yes, please.
So that's an illustration. A special effect is a scene from X-Men 2 where Jean Grey saves the other X-Men. This is again at the end of the movie, so if we're spoiling, sorry. There's an oncoming torrent.
I mean, these things came out decades ago.
Why haven't you seen them yet? Well, anyway, she's the other X-Men are in the plane. She's out on the ground. She holds the plane up while this massive flood comes and she's swept away by it. And so she has sacrificed herself so that they will live. So you have this idea of ark, flood, death for love, and an eventual resurrection in a subsequent movie, protection, salvation.
Yeah, so. Her resurrection doesn't go as well.
No, not as well as all. Yeah.
For Math Smart, trying to sort out some of the logical progression of this passage kind of came, I don't know, help me out with this. Our listeners, you know, if you can sort this out better than I did, that would be great. But I came up with the idea that A is to B as C is to D. Okay. So it's that logical comparison kind of thing. And came up with several possible combinations and trying to find the right one. And I don't know that I did, because I'm not sure that it's the right relationship. But you can try it and see what you think. A is 8 people. B is saved by the ark. And C is you, and D saved by baptism. So 8 people were saved by the ark as you are saved by baptism.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. Or A is the death and resurrection of Christ. B is the ark. C is baptism, and D is the flood. So the death and resurrection of Christ is to the ark as baptism is to the flood.
I can see that, because the death and resurrection is sort of the vessel through which people are saved.
It might be the other way around, actually. It might be as the flood is to baptism.
Which is which? Wait, so...
So flip D and C.
And keep A and B as they are?
Yeah.
Okay, so the death and resurrection of Christ is to the ark as the flood is to baptism. Yes, it is. Definitely. Flip those switch. Well, no, because baptism is the going into the water and then coming back out,
and the
which
Christ
is the death and resurrection.
And the ark and the flood. I don't know.
Yeah, go on to the next one.
So we got one more. Yeah. So we've got A is the ark, B is baptism, C is the flood, and D is death and sin. So that one almost works as an acrostic, but oh well. So anyway, the ark is to baptism as the flood is to sin and death.
Go look at the worksheet.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The first one does work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think so. That's much better.
Anyway, it's in there somewhere. The other thing that I was trying to do was the once for all, and trying to do that as a mathematical equation where if you set a particular value to a constant, then nothing gets
beyond it.
Beyond it. So that would be like the asymptotic value, as it were. Mm-hmm. Like if you do 1 over x squared,
right? Okay.
Then if you graph that, it runs inside the x and y positive axes.
Right.
Right, and it gets infinitely close to both of them.
Right, but never crosses.
But never crosses either one of them.
Oh, okay.
So at 0 either way, the graph never crosses that. And,
okay.
And then it does the same in the second quadrant, positive y, negative x. So that Christ serves the purpose of setting the limit, and it doesn't matter where you are elsewhere on the graph.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right? That makes sense.
Whatever value, you know, that's kind of what I was going for. With
so whatever value X you are, you never go beyond the limit that has been set by Jesus' death and resurrection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. So
that makes sense.
It's not fully formed, but
it's approaching. You know, so if you are a mathematician, you can run with that.
Maybe they'll give you the spark that you can figure it out. If you do, let us know.
Okay, so for People Smart, we're looking at verse 18. Jesus brought us to God. It's like, so if someone steps in and takes you out of a blank spot or a dangerous situation to a place that's safe and full of life. Kind of like going to a party and being introduced to everybody by the host. So, you know, hey, come on in. Let me show you around. Or sitting at home, feeling sorry for yourself and having a friend take you to a fun party. or your parents taking you to your grandparents' house, you know, somebody bringing you someplace, maybe an, even an ambulance ride to the hospital because you need to go someplace and be fixed up. Mm-hmm. So there's some illustrations, a special effect, still looking at verse 18. I read an essay by Carl Jacobson at Working Preacher, and he talks about a particular skit that he used to see when he was in youth group. And I can honestly say I've never seen the skit as it is presented in the essay. So go follow the link. We'll have that at the show notes.
Can I give a little summary of it?
Well, it's this kid who's sitting there doing kind of, you know, just regular kid stuff, and Jesus is standing behind him, and then temptations come along and they kind of tap him on the shoulder, and they're different kinds of things that kids would be tempted with. And every time he gives into that particular temptation, Jesus is pushed out of the way a little bit more or assaulted somehow until eventually all of those, until eventually all of the things that come in that this kid is distracted and drawn away from crucify Jesus. So,
yeah,
I think it would be interesting to try that, but I would change it. I would have a setting of an ordinary day in the life of a disciple, and I would change the temptations to being things like being grumpy in the morning because you haven't had your coffee, so you're snappy with your family, or being nasty to other commuters in traffic because isn't that the way we do that? Being quietly insubordinate to your boss, or being not so quietly dismissive of coworkers, or chastising yourself for not sticking to a diet or some other sort of self-improvement thing. But all of the subtle, tiny ways that we are pulled away from our best self that interferes with our relationship with Jesus. And I think maybe change the end of it to being, you know, Jesus tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I took care of all that.
Yeah, because what Jacobson points out is in this passage where it says Jesus died once for all, that when you do those things, you're not
re-crucifying him.
Yeah, which I thought was the really powerful part of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, which is why I think if you decide to do that as a skit and include those things, then at the end of it, have Jesus remind you, dude, I took care of that.
It's been,
Yeah. Or the things, you know, they could start out with insignificant things and then maybe grow to be much bigger things, anger, bitterness, hatred, and have Jesus tap you on the shoulder and say, nope, got it.
For self-smart, in verse 21, it says that the baptism isn't so much about washing as in washing dirt from your body, but it is an appeal to God for a good conscience. And Jennifer Kaulund, K-A-A-L-U-N-D, a Working Preacher, says conscience, often described as an inner voice or a guide, enables us to make right choices, propels us to choose the good. So for special effect, you may explore good conscience with our old friend Jiminy Cricket from Walt Disney Productions, of course. And fun fact is that the name is actually a minced oath for Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the conscience. Anyway, play around with Jiminy a little bit there. And for special effect, invite folks to consider that the conscience is the inner motivator that draws on the energy that's already present within us. And that's what's making this self-smart, is that internal work. So check and see, what is the energy that's in your internal well, your reservoir, if you will? Do you have mostly positive or negative energy? What's the flow there? What's the energy level? And if you need more of the positive, what might you do to add to that reservoir?
Cool.
Okay, let's go on.
The gospel for year B, Lent 1, is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Hey, wait a minute, you're probably saying. Didn't we do this? Yes.
Yes,
we did. Well, particularly the bottom part of it. We did the whole darn thing, didn't we?
Except the middle part.
So we're going back to the beginning of Mark 1. We haven't gotten out of the first chapter of Mark in 7 weeks of the new year. So it's Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. It's the story of Jesus' baptism, of God saying, "You're my son, the beloved."
Haven't we heard that before?
With you, I am well pleased.
Last week.
Yeah, something like that. The Spirit immediately drives him out to the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. He's with the wild beasts. The angels wait on him. And then John is arrested all of a sudden. And Jesus comes to Galilee. Proclaims the good news of God. Picks up John's mantle. Where have we heard that? And takes over John's message of saying, repent and believe. So we have illustrations in body, nature, and people smart, and we have both illustration and special effect in word smart. We have a little bit of other stuff on the other intelligences. So if you want to see what we came up with, you again go to our website, download the worksheet. So we're going to start in word again. Go ahead, honey.
Okay. So Jesus has no family in the region where all of these things are taking place, particularly the baptism and the wilderness experience. Comes back around to his family eventually. But in his baptism, God calls Jesus his beloved son, and Jesus hears God say, "With you I am well pleased." And so, jumping to the special effect, if your congregation practices the passing of the peace or at some other time in the service when it seems appropriate to do some corporate greeting, encourage folks to greet one another with, "Peace be with you, God is pleased with you." Or if that's too strong for you, "May God be pleased with you." So reenacting that calling and that promise. And we put this in word smart because the spoken blessing is an important thing in anybody's life. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a whole book about that called The Blessing by John Trent and Gary Smalley that came out in the 90s, I think, early 90s. So talks about the need that we have to hear out loud somebody give us a blessing.
Is that why Esau was so adamant that Isaac bless him, even though Jacob stole it?
Yeah.
Do you not have a blessing for me,
too? That's one of the key stories in book, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
If I remember, it's been 25 years since I've read it, but yeah. So anyway, there are those things. For illustration, this passage breaks up into three chunks pretty nicely here. So it's sort of like a three-scene play, and you have the baptism scene, and then the wilderness scene, and then the beginning of the ministry scene, and a little wordplay on that might be naming, training, and proclaiming. And so there's your three-point sermon right there.
Okay, an illustration for body smart. We're looking at verse 15, where Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled." And it got us to thinking that sounds kind of familiar. And it sounds like similar phraseology for the labor and childbirth that is in Luke chapter 2 when Mary has Jesus. So the inauguration of the reign of God here mirrors Mary's experience in Luke. The Spirit rests on her. There are journeys with allies and unknown agents, followed by fulfillment and delivery. So Jesus is experiencing a similar situation that his mother experienced of having the Spirit descend and things happening, God fulfilling purposes through both of them. So it's an interesting physical connection. That's the reason it's in body, because of the time has come for Mary to be delivered of her child, and the time has come for Jesus to be delivered to the world.
And for the kingdom to be...
For the kingdom to come.
To be born.
Yes, right.
Yeah. For nature smart, in verse 13, it says that in the wilderness, Jesus was with the wild animals. And we came across an article at runningheads.net. And it talks about a book by Richard Bauckham called Living with Other Creatures, Green Exegesis and Theology. In that article and reflections on that book, it talks about the messianic inauguration of the kingdom of God here, and that Jesus being with the wild animals was to be with somebody was to be a companion, mm-hmm. or to have a faithful relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus being with the potentially dangerous beasts in a friendly way is reminiscent of the passages in the peaceable kingdom in Isaiah. And it also mentions some of the animals that might fall into that category. And so we have a list here, and it's bears, leopards, wolves, cobras, desert vipers, scorpions, hyenas, jackals, desert foxes, wild boars, wild asses, and antelopes.
So that would be what's native to the area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why this is in nature.
Right. Yeah, so those are some of the animals that he might have experienced, and then that the birth of the messianic kingdom, as we were just talking about, starts in part with Jesus being at peace with the animals.
And the animals being at peace with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody got eaten.
Right. So there's also a little of Daniel in there, I
guess,
right?
Right.
Yeah. Also, in the movement of the whole passage, there's some natural elements and some changes, some pretty dramatic changes. So it starts off at a river, which is often a symbol of abundance, and the spirit dove, which we all associate with peace. And then it moves to the wilderness, which we think of as deprivation and fasting and all that, with Satan and the wild beasts, where we expect confrontation. Mm-hmm. They're two very opposite scenes here. And so Jesus basically masters all of that abundance and want, peace and confrontation before going forth to proclaim the kingdom.
Hmm. Moving on to people smart, we're looking at verse 13, and it could be that maybe the angels waiting on Jesus are not necessarily waiting on him, like serving him, but they're just kind of waiting for him to get out there. Where is he?
How long is he supposed to be in the desert?
Yeah. Anyway, so also, back in the day, it really wasn't unusual for college fraternities and initiations to include unscheduled road trips, where active brothers would take a pledge out into the wilds far from campus without much more than maybe a dime for a phone booth and leave them to make their way back. This is probably not allowed anymore since colleges have been clamping down on hazing experiences. And you got to wonder why anybody thought this would be a good idea or a sign of brotherly support and affection. That's not entirely clear. No. But anyway, stories of such trials abound, often including encounters fraught with perils and or temptations and also unexpected assistance. And maybe some of those can be modeled on Jesus' wilderness experience. Hey, man, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me.
Being driven out into the wilderness.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.
Or words to that effect.
Yeah.